Not for long.
How many is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
It's been a good week this week. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of good opposition. That means we're on the right side, right? That's one good way to find out. You know, sometimes the devil makes you doubt all the time. You know, thinks you know what you're doing, everything wrong. And you make you want to ask the devil, if I'm doing everything wrong, then why are you always bothering me? You know, a lot of times, you know, if he had us, he wouldn't bother us too much. But I thought the drum sounded real nice this morning. Really appreciate Brother Tim for doing that. It's a lot of hours behind the scenes, and I thank the Lord he's got different gifts inside the church that can do different things, because you know, been around me long enough, you don't want me messing with music and stuff like that. I do good enough just singing, I'll tell you, much less trying to come up with a drum and all that stuff. But you know what? That's the way God does things. He puts churches together, and he's got different people that can do different things. And you know, we all got a part to play. And sometimes you may have some of you that may never step behind the pulpit, but you're just as important as Brother Tim, you know, or Brother Tony. Because you know what? You're part of the body. And I think it's real important we always remember that, how important you really are. And you know, that sometimes you may think yourself, it won't matter if I come to church or not. The church will go on. But you know what? It does matter.
Amen.
Because the whole church struggles. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. I believe she's got it on the multimedia. Really missed Brother Tony this morning. We want to really be praying for him. I know Sister Lisa probably misses him more than any of us. To talk to him just the other day through email, and he seems like he's doing good. Go ahead and read the scripture. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come here to this place, Lord, with precious brothers and sisters, Lord, and be able to speak your word, Lord. And God, it's so precious to me, Lord. And Lord, may we all hold it up high, Father, because, Lord, it's so precious, Lord. Your blood is so precious, Father. I ask you, Lord, help me not say anything, Lord, out of tone, out of kilter, God. Lord, help me not say anything that would try to make me look like I'm anything, because, Lord, you know what I'm made of, and it ain't much, Lord. It's by your grace, Father, I'm even here today, and I'm thankful for it, Lord. I ask you, touch every heart that's here among us, Lord. Meet our needs, Heavenly Father, and may we all see, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, Father. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to speak to you a little thought, not a real great thought, a real simple thought that I feel the Lord give me, and that's get the empty vessels ready. And you know, sometimes you got to be able to, for the Lord to fill something up, it's got to be empty. But you know, a lot of times that's the reason He can't fill us, is because it's full already. And before we go into this, I want to kind of set a little bit of a foundation. And the last time I had spoken, it was quite a bit of a struggle for me, because I was going through quite a few trials at the same time. It seems like gunshot from every direction. And you just, and during those times, you just got to say the word and say, God, your word says it, and I believe it, and just keep stepping in that. And I'll tell you what, saints, God has been so good. The hidden power that I was speaking about has been coming on the scene just left and right. I got a tremendous testimony about my boy Dylan, seeing God moving in his life, God working in his life, and he's made a decision in himself. He wants to come stay with us so he can be in the presence of the Lord. He wants to be able to come and hear the Word of God. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? During this time and day, whenever there's every temptation out there in the world for them to go, you know, through anything other than God, but yet in the midst of a crooked generation, he's got something on the inside that says, I want to be in God. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. My shop at the same time was going very bad. My greatest fleet customer that I had was about 60% of my business laid off all their drivers. And so rather than doing 19 to 25 oil changes a day, I was doing like 5. Well, you can imagine what that does to a business. And it was really a stress, a lot of pressure on me. I had all of this quantity of oil that was on my head and way more than what I needed, and it was just a battle, you know. And depression, different things have come. You know, how many knows that the devil really tries to fight like that?
Amen.
Depression is something, saints of God, that's a real battle that a lot of people really have to fight. And if you've never fought it, you won't know really how bad it really is. And instead, the enemy was really trying to come at me just one day after another, hammer me with depression. And you know, if you know much about me, you know I'm a jolly person most of the time. I like to sing to the Lord. I'm always happy. I like to create an atmosphere everywhere I go, and it seemed like it was hard for me to smile. It was hard for me to rejoice. It was hard for me when I go to work. I'm usually the one that goes in there, and I'm rejoicing, and people think I'm crazy, you know, because I got something I'm happy about. Amen? Yeah. Satan can't take your salvation away from you, but what he can take is the joy of your salvation. And it seemed like it's one battle after another, and you know, but I finally, as I preached, even the last time I spoke, I said, you know what, when you go through a time like that, you've got to call out for help and ask someone to start helping, you know, because it's like, you know what, I'm trying to get through these things. And I called my brother Tim Lane and brother Tony Roberts, and I told him, I said, brothers, I'm going through something. I said, and it's embarrassing feeling to even say I'm fighting these things. How many ever feels that way? You know what, you're fighting a battle on the inside, but you feel too ashamed to say that I'm fighting this battle. But you know what? I felt that way, and I realized, you know what? If I don't call out for help, I don't know how far this is going to go. Because you know what? Depression can actually lead to suicide eventually. And that's what Satan would love more than anything.
Right.
You know, so I talked to Brother Tim and talked to Brother Tony, and you know what? They prayed. I'm going to tell you something. From that day forth, saints of God, that devil has been under my foot.
Amen.
And you know, it's been, and I just want to give the Lord a hand for that. You know what? Because that's a great victory in my life. You know, because ever since that time, you know, it's just like in praying and things, it's so much better. You know, knowing you're not fighting this battle alone. And you know what? That's what I think we really need to remind ourselves is we're not fighting this battle alone. We're not by ourselves. Well, the Lord, as I was saying, my shop was really dying. It was just no business at all, doing like 5 cars a day. And well, eventually, you know as well as I do, if you go that very long, they're going to shut the shop down. You're not making enough to do anything. And I started going to every time I go to my shop, I say, God, I'm depending on that hidden power. You did it for Samson. I'm asking you to do it for me now. Mm-hmm. And in 2 weeks, saints of God, in 2 weeks at my shop, I made a month's wages. And mm-hmm. and was it nothing for me? There was people coming all the way from Van Buren, Arkansas. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Van Buren, where do we go, church at? Van Buren, Arkansas. People were coming, and it started from one little colored woman. Old lady, she come in there and she just a precious little thing. She's 79 years old, I think she was. I said, sister, what are you doing driving? You know, she was coming up there and you know, I started talking to her about the Lord, and she just before she left, she grabbed my hand and she held it and she said, I just want to tell you something, young man. She said, you're going to be blessed. God's going to bless you because you have the right spirit inside. He said, don't you ever lose that. And I said, well, I hope I don't. I appreciate that, man. God bless you. And she went out of her way. And saints, I've had car after car coming from Van Buren, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that there's a little sister so-and-so told us, this is the place to come. I said, well, she told you the truth. You know? And so the Lord has blessed it where my business is back to where, not just where it was, but it's actually doing better than what it was before the fall. You know, so I just want to give God praise for that.
Amen.
And One last testimony before we kind of get started. Finally got Dylan with me now, and he's after the summer, and he'll be living with us full time and staying with us all the time. And a man came in and gave me a job offer, and it was looked like it was going to be a really, really good job offer. But it knocked me away from home and all these different things, and I would never even come to church hardly. And I said, can't put a price on that, buddy. I said, I'd rather be at home. And he said, well, he said, I want you to go ahead and service my vehicle if you would. I said, okay. I said, we'll sure do that. Well, it's a transmission on a Ford F-250. And for you that don't know much about transmissions, it's thermostat control on a Ford. And it means it's got to get hot enough to open the thermostat. It's like a little gauge, like a gate inside that thermostat, or inside the transmission, and it has to get hot enough. And once it gets hot enough, that gate opens up, and the transmission fluid circulates. It goes through the radiator. So it gets extremely hot, not like a normal vehicle. Well, on doing this transmission, on the Fords, you have to be underneath there, and you have to kind of hold the lines in place to make sure that they stay in place. And while somebody is up on top and has to power brake it, that means to start the engine up, hold the foot on the brake, and hold the gas pedal at the same time, put about 1,800 RPMs, until it gets really hot, and then that thermostat opens up, which means it's hot, right? Well, I'm underneath there, and I'm doing this transmission service, and I'm holding the lines, and it's F-250, so it gets twice as hot as any of the other ones, and the line sprung a leak, and it started spraying the fluid toward my face, and I had to hold the lines together while I was trying to get him to shut the vehicle off. Well, he couldn't hear me. He wasn't paying attention, I guess. And so he was ramming the engine up harder, and instead of shutting the vehicle off, he was giving it more throttle. So I was having to hold the transmission fluid like this and hold my face back, and it blistered my hands really bad. Well, finally, he got the vehicle shut off, and immediately I felt the Lord tell me, just go in there and scrub your hands right now. So I went straight to the restroom, and transmission fluid was all over me. I had blisters down my stomach, down my hands, all around the tops, and down this arm, and a few down this arm. And I got in there, and my hands were literally just, they were shaking. It was just excruciating pain. And when I rubbed it, there was actually a bunch of skin that just come right down. I was like, oh, Lord. And so I started just, and I said, I know I got to scrub this right now, because it's going to hurt a lot worse later if I don't. So I just started scrubbing that thing, and first thing in my mind, text Brother Tim. I said, Brother, pray. And I was sitting there and thanked the Lord for voice control on cell phones. I had that thing flipped over, and I spoke to him. I said, and I think I may have said something simple, burnt hands badly, please pray. Something real simple. Well, I'm going to stop right here and show you something that will tie in later on. Sometimes you don't realize that we get puffed up about things and you don't even realize it. Well, I was talking about how my business is going really slow. There's a guy that cuts our lawn for us, and he gets a free oil change for cutting our lawns. Well, a free oil change on top of my stats on my business makes it look terrible. So instead of having like a $54 average, it's showing a $0 average, which makes my business look really bad in front of all the other businesses. So anytime he'd come in for a free oil change, I hated it when he come. Now, don't get me wrong, I treated him with respect as a brother. We talked about the Lord, but on the inside, I was like, I hate it when he comes. It kills my average. I finally got my average built up, selling different things. He comes and destroys the whole thing. Well, this is the minister brother, by chance, and he's from the prison ministry. There's something ties into that also. Well, like I say, this man has really caused me a lot of problems with that deal. Now, I love his fellowship, but I hate when he comes for free oil changes. Well, I'm standing here, I'm scrubbing my hands, and I tell Brother Tim, I said, Brother, please pray. Hands burnt, please pray. And so get a message pretty quickly, and he said, Brother, I am praying. Well, I'm sitting here, and my hands are just, I'm telling you, on fire. And so I hear a voice, a familiar voice that at one time was an annoying voice, because it's, I'm here for my free oil change. Well, he came back to my office where I was, I scrubbed my hands, he said, where you at, Daniel? You sleeping? He said, I'm ready for my free oil change. And normally I'd say, oh, my Lord. This time I said, thank you, Jesus. You know what? The man that was giving me all these problems was another man that could right there. And he said, Brother Daniel, what have you done, brother? And he said, Brother, I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus right now. He said, I'll put this in my pocket before I come. He said, I'm heading to the prison. He said, I was going to stop. He said, Brother, we're going to pray right now. I said, Brother, let's do it. And he grabbed out an oil on his hand and put oil on there. We prayed right there in the name of Jesus Christ. And right there, you know, I do. I say, you know what? God's doing something here. This ain't just coincidence. And so this brother leaves, and I just start singing to the Lord. And I just, because I mean, it's on fire. And I just start singing to the Lord. And all of a sudden, this presence, this amazing presence comes into the shop where I'm at. And Will, he's the guy that works for me, the other guy that said, "Man, you're crazy. I'd be screaming." He said, "He's singing. Look at him." And I said, "Brother," I said, "if you can only feel what I'm feeling right now." I said, "I don't want to feel that." I said, "Not that." You know, they thought I was talking about this. But I was talking about something inside here. And I started singing to the Lord in the presence of the God. I'm telling you, it was so awesome. And my wife come and I said, "You know, I think I'll be fine." And I said, "But we'll go ahead and..." She said, "Let's go ahead and go to the doctor just in case it's infection." I said, "Okay." Well, we go there and my hands are getting... looks like it's getting worse. And I don't know if you can see it, but it was listed from here all the way around and all the way around my fingers, in between my fingers, on that side. And it was pretty gruesome. And we went to the first ProMed place and we walked in there and we said, "I would like to get my hands taken a look at." And all these nurses said, "Oh my goodness, you need to go to the emergency room. You do not need to be here. Go straight to the emergency room." I said, "It's not as bad as you think. It's really not." They said, "Yes, it is." So we go to the emergency room and they take one look at it and they said, "Get this guy in the back." And if that is a miracle. You know, in the emergency room, people, I don't know if you know, I've seen people got their arm hanging off, you know, and they're sitting there, you know. And, you know, so it's not to be funny. That's really how bad it really is sometimes. They took me right back there, and they started looking at it, cleaning it up, and they said, "Wow, who cleaned this up for you?" I said, "Well, I said, I did that." And they said, that's the best thing you could have done. And they started treating some stuff. Well, they left, and my wife was just starving to death. And see, I said, "Honey, just go get you a burger. Just go get you a burger and enjoy yourself. You know, I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, it's not the mother. You know, want to be there and take care of me. You know." Well, she ends up leaving, and I'm sitting there and I'm laying on the bed, and the song in my mind is, "My God is a strong tower," and I'm telling you, it's just like angels were singing with me. I'm telling you, it was so awesome. I was just laying there and just a presence, thanks to God. And I had blisters all down my hands, all between my fingers. I was sitting there and I looked at my hand and I seen the blisters going away. As I began to sing, I said, "My God is a strong tower." And every one of the blisters were going away off my hand. And the only blisters I have on my hand now, I got one right here, one right here, and I've got just a little bitty one right there. Wow. You know, by the grace of God, saints of God. Amen. You know, it's during our weakness is when He becomes really strong. But you know, sometimes we feel like we're so strong we can do anything. And you know what? I was laying there, and that nurse, she left to do her thing, and she come back into the room where I was at, and she said, "Am I in the same room?" And she looked at my hands, and she said, "Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing." And she said, "That's good cream." And I said, "Sister, that's not the cream." And she said, "Oh, I know, honey. I'm just saying that." And you know what? That's a witness for that hospital that they're going to have to testify that they've seen Jesus Christ the same yesterday, day, and forever. Amen. They're going to have to testify to that. Amen. And, you know, I just want to thank God for that. You know, I want to thank God for His mercy. And, you know, because sometimes you may feel like you are just at your wit's end and you don't know what in the world you're going to do. I want to tell you something. I felt that way not too long ago. And the grace of God brought me through the sense of God. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Amen? Amen. I just want you to remember that. Kind of back to our text. You know, I want to speak to you a thought of get the empty vessels ready. You know, and I believe that God, and Billy Tony's said it for a long time now, and I believe you've heard me say it many times, I feel like God is fixing to do something in this church in a great way. And I believe that, saints of God. But I believe that we have a part to do in this. We need to get our vessels ready. We need to get our vessels empty. That way, when we come to church, you're already hungry for God. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't say this to be mean. I say this as your brother. You know what? When you come in those doors, if there ain't something in you longing for the presence of God and worshiping, saints of God, I would check my appetite. Amen. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't say this being puffed up. I say this as your brother. You know, when I come here, I am so longing to get in here and worship God. Because there's a deep call to the deep that's moving. And God wants to move in our life, but He can't do that in this church until we empty our vessels. We're going to have to empty ourselves and say, "God, I need Your help during this week. I need Your help in all that I'm doing." Because if we continue to go on like we're doing, He won't move, saints of God. He wants to move in our life. And I've done it wrong. He is moving in our life. I don't want to say He's not. He is. But saints of God, there's an urgency that I feel on the inside of me that if we will just do these little things, He can move in a great way. You know what? I'm thankful for this building that we have here. It's wonderful. And you know, there's a lot of trials, but you know what? It's dry. You know, it's there's a lot of trials, but we're warm, some of us. Some of you, I think, we put it under a cutting torch, you'd still be cold, Sister Crystal. Yeah. But you know what? I tell you what, God's been good to us, and I believe that if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, I believe that He'll do a greater work with us. And you know, if you look into the church world, it's a mess. And I'm looking at, and I'm talking about, you know, the denominational churches, it's a mess. But you know what? It's getting to where it's not just a mess out there. It's a mess right in the message churches now, thanks to God. And that's the truth. It's becoming a mess. And Brother Brenham, he talks about altar calls. You know, he said, I don't believe in altar calls myself. He said, I don't. He said, don't get me wrong. I've done many of them. He said, I'll probably do a lot more. But what he's saying is altar calls is where you're saying, oh, come on, Johnny. Your mama's been praying for you all these years. Come on, Junior. You know, your daddy, they died on their dying breath saying they want you to come to the Lord. And, you know, Johnny come up to the altar finally after all the pleading. And Brother Branham said, hardly ever, do you ever see anything come from that. You know, I'm talking about saints of God because it's got to be a genuine conviction of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the greatest power on the earth today is a Christian under conviction. You take a Christian under conviction of the Holy Ghost, he'll do things that nobody else could do. Because of God working in his midst. But you know what? Sometimes the conviction that on the believer is beginning to the point where you don't even feel it anymore. And saints of God, that's a fearful thing. It's to see people come to church of God and don't feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? I'm going to show you how sensitive the Holy Spirit is. Brother Brennan was talking with his kids, and he was going down the road, and he said, you know what, kids? There was three great men that come out of Kentucky. There was Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Who was the other one? Daniel Boone. And Brother Brennan. You know what? You know who that sounds like? That sounds exactly like me. You know, because I'll be going down the road, and my kids have all got an Indian name. You know, and we'll be going down the road, and I'll tell the goofiest story you've ever heard. You know, and I'll be going through, and it was many moons ago, and all these different things, and my kids are just hee-hawing and laughing. Don't get me wrong, I think those things are fine at a time. But you know what? Brother Brenham talked about that. He said, I would say those things, and he said, my wife would say, now, Bill, come on now. And he said, all right, dear. And he said, he'd find himself saying another wise crack to the kids. And said, Bill, come on. You know what that means? It sounds like Brother Brenham was a man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. But you know what, Brother Brennan, when he comes to a point, he said, then when it comes time to pray for somebody, he said there was something inside of him. He said, you know what, I got to go die to those things. And he said, he had, just from that little joke, he said he had to go pray and say, God forgive me. Because you have to die daily. And you know what, like I say, I'm the jolliest person you probably ever meet in your life. You know, if you hear some goofy laugh or something to get to heaven, you say, Brother Daniel's there, you know. Because I'm just a happy person. But you know what? I have to find myself, I have to watch those jokes too. Not bad jokes, but just being silly sometimes, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You sure can. Brother Branham talked about one time, and I just want to show you how light things that we take for granted sometimes, we think there's nothing to that. Now, if you used to hear me tell a joke about Indians, you'd probably thought, he just told a joke, right? But Brother Branham talked about how he said he had to go back and repent because the Holy Spirit is so sensitive. You know, Brother Brown talked about that. He said that, you know, the tax people. He said they were calling and hounding his mind. He said he felt like his head was about to explode. He said he was inside the house and he kept hearing this. And they kept calling and kept calling. And he walked to the screen door. And he said, his wife said, honey, it's those tax people again. He said, just tell them I'm not in the house. Stepped out the door and shut the door. Well, he wasn't in the house. But you know what? God smote his heart. And during that little bitty thing that he'd done right there, it came time when Brother Brenham needed to pray for a child. And he went to go pray for that child, and God would not hear his prayer. Because he said that. Now, did he lie? You look at that, you say, well, that wasn't really a lie, because he wasn't in the house when he did it. But you know what? It was sensitive enough to the Lord that the Lord, it stopped him from being able to pray. And you know, I say these things because I say, Brother Brenham was a man. I'm going to ask you, how many of you in here are humans?
Man.
Remember Brother Miller preached that one time. He'd asked several different things and nobody raised their hand. He said, is there anybody human in here? And I was like, okay, I just want to make sure I'm preaching the right congregation. But you know what? Brother Brenham was a man. And you know what? I thank God that he put somebody like that in our focus that we can look at and see that he had to die daily. And you know what? Little things like that, if you're like me, sometimes you go through that many times a day and won't even think nothing about it. Because you know what, you'll just... But after a little while, you begin to realize, wait a minute, something's going wrong here. Something's gone wrong because the Holy Spirit should be here. He should be working in my midst. But I tell you what, I believe it is saints of God, Satan wants to get us away from that conviction of the Holy Ghost. Whereas at one time, if he was to dare say something like that, it would be, you'd be so convicted you wouldn't even know what to do. But after a little while, because of one little thing after another, it gets so common to you. Saints of God, it's not just out in the denominations that these things are happening. It's right here in the message churches. It gets so... And I'm not talking about walking under legalism. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm talking about we need to be aware that the Holy Spirit is very timid. He's very timid and it's very... And you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I don't want the Holy Spirit grieving this church. I want the Holy Spirit to be here, saints of God, because Brother Branham talked about in a song service that if everyone's minds is every different direction... And he said, whenever the musician, and I really appreciate Brother Tim. And I want you to stop and think about this just a minute. Brother Tim drives an hour, 45 minutes, or whatever it may be. And you know what? It's a long drive. But I want you to stop and think about his shoes that he's walking in when he comes up to lead worship. How would you like to lead worship sometimes? No one ever once stayed up too late the night before. You know, where if your mind's on everything but the service during the worship service. If you ever go through these times, saints of God, you got to realize when that brother steps up there, it's a ministry. And when he steps up there, no matter how much he prays, how much he seeks the Lord, if we ain't prayed up when we come to church, saints of God, you're putting a weight on his shoulders that he shouldn't have to carry. Don't get me wrong, there's a burden that goes with that. There is a burden that comes with that because that's just with the calling. He was born with the gift. He can't do nothing about that. But you know what? There's a ministry that he has when he comes. Whenever he goes, he should be able to automatically start leading in worship. And if we're prayed up where we need to be, saints of God, we'll pick right up the slack. Right. And you know what? And you'll begin to worship the Lord and sing to God. Because I know what it's like when you don't feel good. I understand that very well. You know, I understand there's times you come to church and you don't even feel like singing. Sometimes you may go, your body hurts so bad. I fell twice. Not once, twice this week. You know, I was going out of the... A lady was sleeping and snowing, and a little old lady was out in her van out there, and I didn't want her getting out, so I go outside, and I see the parking lot's wet, and I start going real quick, and it's ice, and my feet go that high. And I just fall back, and I hit the ground, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I thought I broke my arm, and I finally get up, and she's just hee-hawing laughing at me. I'm like, well, thank you, ma'am, you know. But you know what? I went through that thing, and you know what? I told her, but you know, when that happened, you know what? I hurt. You know what? I hurt. And so, you know, when I go to church, there's time, you know what? I don't even feel like putting one foot in front of the other. Because you know what? When I feel right on where my surgery was, where it just bumped, and I'm telling you, it hurt bad. And you know what? My arms hurt so bad, you don't even feel like raising up. But you know what? During the service, saints of God, I had my hands up in the air and I was worshiping God. And I don't say that looking at me. I'm Sony because you know what? I'm going to get a blessing from the service. You know what? My hands hurting so bad. You know, at times, you know, in the beginning of it, you know what, Brother Tim? He said, Brother Daniel, you're going to be able to do the service. I said, you better believe it, brother. We're going. I mean, I said, though, oh, yeah, brother, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Because you know what? I'm committed to it. You know what? I'm getting a blessing from God. And I'm saying those things not to make you feel beat down or me to be booked, because you know there's nothing to me, saying to God. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes you ain't going to feel like worshiping God. And if you just don't do it when you don't feel like it, you'll walk a defeated life. Because the devil will catch on to that and he'll make you feel bad every time you come to church. You know what? If your stomach, you come to church with your stomach aching and different things, you have a stomach ache, it sure don't feel good. Raise your hands up, doesn't it? You know what? But you know what? I'm telling you, if you'll defy that and you say, well, you know what? My stomach hurts. That's true. It does hurt. But you know what? I'm praising the Lord. And you raise those hands up and you see if God don't inhabit that praise. Paul and Silas, you think about them, beaten in prison. God, you know, and I'm not talking about someone take their hand out and smack them. I'm talking beaten in prison, saints of God. Right. In shackles. You know what? And they were in this, and they were in a prison house. You know, and rats crawling all over them, roaches probably that long. You know, looking inside there, the filth, the smell, people probably cancer and leprosy and all these different things. They were in a prison house. And I bet they probably didn't feel like worshiping God. But you know what? Something on the inside of them says, you know what? We got two choices. I can sit right here in my dung. I can sit here and just rot and die. Or I can worship the Lord. Because you're in here anyway. You may as well praise God while you're at it. Amen? You know what? And they began to praise the Lord. And when they began to praise the Lord, a hidden power took place and God set them free. Is that right? Because they began to worship the Lord. It wasn't because they felt like worshiping God. They didn't feel like it. They didn't tell me that, but I just assume I wouldn't feel like it. Imagine the prison, the tortures that they would do back then. You know, of whipping them. They've got tortures of one where they'll hold you down and drop a bead of water on top of your forehead. One after another. And I remember when I was little, knew it all, you know. I said, that wouldn't be that bad. There ain't nothing to that. You know what my uncles did? Strapped me down and put a belt around me. Strings, tied me up. And did that same thing to me. I want to tell you something. It hurts. After a while, it's mind-boggling. You think, my Lord, what kind of family are you from? I'm from Oklahoma. Torture. I'm telling you, you know what? You look at the torture they were going through. It wasn't just a small thing. Right. The devil wants you to think that what you're going through is the hard thing. If Brother Daniel was to walk in my shoes a mile, he wouldn't be saying the things he's saying. You know what? The grace of God is sufficient for me the same way He's sufficient for you.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient. You know what? If we will begin to speak that and say, you know what? I may not feel like anything. I feel worse than dumb because of what I've done. I've fell flat on my face. But you know what? I can either lay here flat on my face or I can get right back up and say, God, forgive me. And get back on running. And you know what? The other night, I just felt enthused about this, what I'm talking about. And I wanted to see about racers. And I'm talking about run racers. I don't care about cars going in circles. That just mind boggles me how people go watch that. But you know what? It was something about racing. And I wanted to see someone that was running a race. And it's something inside me that just kept burning. I just wanted to see something. So I started typing in the greatest racer, track racer. And I began to go through there. And there was one that came up and it was a colored man. And it's an old, it was an older video, so I'm sure it was from a long time ago. But this colored man was running, and he was doing really good in the race. And if I'm not mistaken, he was like first or second place. He was doing really good in the race. And he got almost all the way through the race, and he pulled a hamstring. And when he pulled that hamstring, saints of God, I want you to think about this. He was doing everything right. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. Without a doubt, he stretched before the race. Without a doubt, he did all these things. So he wasn't just willfully sinning, so to speak. But this was a man that was running a race, and he was going so good, and all of a sudden a hamstring pulled. And you could see from the expression on his face, he was in so much pain. And he just cried. I mean, just agonizing cry. And I was expecting him to quit and go sit on the sideline, and people were calling him, come sit down. And he kept waving them away. He said, I'm not going to quit. And this man began to keep running, and he was just crying, excruciating pain. You can see the tears coming out of his face because he said, I'm going to finish this race. And this man, he kept running, and I was crying nearly, just watching at the man. And all of a sudden, there was an old black man come running down the stands. And this old black man pushed through the people, and he ran all the way up to the man. He put the young boy's arm around his head, and he began to walk with him. And he kept running the race, saints of God. He didn't quit. He kept running. And the old man just kept pulling him. He kept pulling him. And then right at the finish line, he let the man go and said, go, go. And he was just everything he could. He was crossing the finish line. And then come to find out the old man was his daddy. Oh, hallelujah. His daddy was there. And his daddy said, you're going to finish this horse, son. Don't you quit. And his daddy stood right there and helped him finish that race, saints of God. You know what? Sometimes you may say, Brother Daniel, I wasn't willfully sinning. I wasn't willfully going out into the world, but somehow I pulled a hamstring. And I can't go on anymore. It seems like I can't go any further. I'm going to tell you something. The Father's here this morning. Amen. And He'll get a hold of you, saints of God, and He'll help you run this course. If you'll just say, you know what? I'm weak, God. I need your help. Because He'll make you strong. He said, He can grab a hold of you, and He can carry you right across the finish line, saints of God. Don't quit. You know what? There's something inside you, the sense of God. The devil wants to make you quit and say, you know what? You can't do it. You can't go on. You may as well quit. Don't quit. Reach out to God this morning and say, God, I can't do it alone. In the same way the Father helped that man, He'll help you.
Amen.
You know, I began to look on through and I said, God, I want to see more. And I looked through and I find a young girl.
And they're running, there's a race. And I'm telling you what, she is doing absolutely awesome. She's running through there, and I mean, she is just blowing them away. And she's doing great. But when she's almost through the race, thanks God, she trips and she falls, and she looks like she hits her head on the pavement. And the people are almost all the way, the lap full around her. And I think she's going to quit. But you know what? She had two decisions. She said, I can either sit here and quit, or I can get back up and try again. And you know what? There's something inside her. She jumped right back to her feet. Now I'm talking, she began to go, and it looked like nothing you've ever seen before. She blew past the first one. She kept going on through, and the finish line is like right there. And there's like four other people, and she just starts blowing them behind. Thanks to God, and right at the finish line, she passes every one of them as she crosses the line. Hey, man. She could have quit, thanks to God. She could have laid right there and said, you know what, I give up. I can't do it anymore. But there was something on the inside of her said, you know what, I'm keeping my eyes on the finish line. I'm going to run this course. Thanks to God, I'm going to run this course.
Amen.
Who's going to run it with me?
Amen.
You know what, the devil wants to tell you, you know, he wants to tell you to give up. I want to hammer something right here. You know what, that old devil, and it's not you. I'm going to hammer that devil the best I can. You know what, the sisters, he wants to pound you sisters, making your hair fall out. Come on, sisters, say amen.
Amen.
You know what, he wants to battle you with all these things, with maybe your weight or different things. You know what, he wants to beat your mind with all that. You know what, because you're looking out here in the world, you see a woman that cuts her hair, and she's got thick hair. Her hair will grow, but she'll cut that thing off. And you try to grow it, and then yours will break off or fall out. Come on. But you know what? I believe that we can run this course and say, God, I'm doing all I can. And I want to ask you to grab a hold of me and help me run this course and let my hair grow back. I'm telling you, if you speak that word, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus Christ, He'll give it to you. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
You know what? If you're having a problem with your weight and you're saying, you know what? I'm tired of having this weight on me. You know what? There's something you can do. You commit that to God and say, God, you know what? I'm sick of having the extra weight that I have on me. I don't want this anymore. I want to be where I feel healthy, where I'm proud of who I am. You commit that to God and you put a healthy diet before the Lord and do the best you can do, all that you can do in yourself. You commit that to God and see if God don't meet the need.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, if anybody needs weight, it's me. So don't. But you know what I'm telling you? These are things that the devil was binding and fighting and telling you, you know what? This is a battle that only you're fighting. I gotta tell you, if you talk to every sister in here, they'd probably tell you, amen. You know what, and a brother, you know what, you begin to find out your shoulders start drooping, you know, and you know, muscles you used to have, they ain't there anymore.
Right.
Come on. Brother Matthew, you'll be saying amen for too long. But you know what, that's a battle. Why? Because we got this old thing. You know what, there was a time when I could go out there and for 2 weeks I could hit it hard and I'm back in shape. I'm ready to go. I could hit it for 2 months and I might be gaining something. And I'm just 30. These are battles that we fight, saints of God. Though you know what, the devil wants to tell you, you know what, this is all there is to it. You have to settle for this. I'm tired of walking under my privileges, saints of God. I'm tired of letting the devil walk over me. No, I'm tired of seeing my brothers and sisters feeling like they're going to walk on. But you know what? If we'll stand to our feet, I remember a testimony of Sister Brittany. And I mean, she's always been little. But she was even littler here than I remember. It was after an ELT camp meeting. Or Louisiana camp. There was a Louisiana camp meeting and we all, you know, I seen them young people, they were out there serving God. I mean, worshiping God during that meeting. I just, man, it does something. When you see young people worshiping the Lord, I mean, it made me excited. We come back and they had a testimony service. And all the testimony, not to tear down anyone's testimonies at all. Not at all. God knows that's true. But people began to give testimony, and most of the testimonies were just copies of the other testimony. They said, well, pretty much what he said. Well, pretty much what he said, you know. And nothing bad about that. Nothing bad. I'm not turning that down. But you know what? There wasn't really nothing really fire. And then I seen this little bitty girl get up here. I mean, she's so little, she had to basically, you know, lick up over the microphone. And I can't remember the exact word, but she said something this vague. She said, you know, I went to camp and I was fighting these battles, this little bitty voice. She said, I was fighting all these battles. And she said, you know what? I said, Satan, I'm putting my foot down. Amen. She said, I ain't putting up with this no more. You remember that, sister? Amen. She said, I ain't putting up with this no more. And you know what? She started, from that point on, she started claiming victory over the devil. You know what? She wasn't the biggest among us. She was the littlest among us. But she had God. And she put her foot down, thanks to God. I think we need to put our foot down, amen?
Amen.
You know, when I was in college here not too long ago, you learned a lot of things about things that you don't normally think about. One of the things that they were talking about in literature was talking about storylines. And when you listen to what they say, it really makes you a critic, big time over stories. And something that the professors had really opened my eyes to is there's really no story writers anymore. There might be one, a dime a dozen. You've got lots of books, but no story writers. You know why? Because they can't create a storyline. So, and that's for movies, that's for books, that's for all these things. And she began to really show these things to us. She said, they can't do those things, so they have to do things to make up for that. And in the Hollywood edition, you begin to use filth. I'm just going to say that. For lack of words. From the kids. They can't create a storyline, so they have to create filth and activities to catch the attention of the viewers. And that's what pulls the people in. And then when you ask people, well, what was it about? Let's say, oh, this explosion that took place. No, but what's it about? Oh, this scene right here. What's the story about? Well, I don't really know, to be honest with you. They couldn't tell you. Whether it be a story, whether it be a movie, whether it be whatever it is. Because all they see is the big explosions. They don't even know the story, saints of God. It's the same thing in the churches. You know what? The churches, they don't have the storyline. So they have to give you all this explosion, these activities. You know, this, we're going to have this gathering. We're going to do these things. We're going to, this man told me today, he said, we do fishing trip, you know, for the brothers. You know, we do free breakfast on this day. All these different things. Activities. You know what? Those things are fine, thank God, but the storyline's what we need. And I'm going to, he said, I'm talking about the Word, thank God. It's got to be the Word that pulls us together. I want to, whenever you have service, you know, what was the service about? Oh, there was this explosion. Well, what was the service about? It was all this right here. What was the service about? And I'm going to say, God, help me to never come to a point where all I have is explosions. Don't have a storyline.
Right.
Saints of God, what's your storyline in your life? If I was to take your life and examine your life and put it under the microscope, and we're going to do a whatever over you, what's your storyline? And you know what? I don't care how many explosions I've got. I don't care how many of these things I have. You know, and what I mean by that is great testimonies you may hear people talk about. You know, because I talk about a lot of testimonies. I said, God, dude, don't you ever think I'm trying to make myself better than anybody else, because I'm not. I testify about what I see God do in my life. And that's my ministry. It really is. I want to ask you, what is your storyline? And saints, if I don't have nothing else, one thing I want to say, you know what? That brother and sister loves God. That's one thing I'll give them. They love God. Brother Brenham had that. He had that testimony. And there's ever a man on the earth ever had more explosion and dynamite and all these different things in his life. Stop and think about this. If there was ever anyone that had any more action, it was William Brenham. But when you talk to somebody about Brother Brenham, they talk about, oh, I've never seen such action. No. You talk to even the critics about Brother Brenner in the ministry. What do they go back to? They say, he's the humblest man I've ever met. Even his critics, saints of God. Let that be our testimony. You know what? Then they say, Brother Daniel, he don't have nothing. You know, nothing great about it. But one thing about it, he's got humility in God. I want that about you, saints of God, with nothing else. Brother Brenham talked about people that have of the hotel rooms. He said, you know, in the hotel rooms, people come into the meetings of Brother Brenham. He said the people would tell him, said, Brother Brenham, those were the sweetest, humblest people I've ever met. Because there was a character about them. Saints of God, I don't care how many quotes we got, I want the character. I want the character to carry these quotes. I want the character to carry this thing, because that's something the devil can't counterfeit that.
Right.
No, he can counterfeit a lot of things, but the genuine character of God. I'm not talking about a front. I'm not talking about a stuff shirt. I'm talking about when you're really going through something. You know, Brother Tim could have easily. He could have easily. But I told him, I said, Brother Tim, I'm fighting this, brother. I am really fighting depression, brother, and it's really haunting me. That brother could have squashed me like a bug right there. He could have at that point, he could have literally just said even the least things, because I felt so weak at that time. He could have just squashed me and said, "You know what? That's pretty pathetic. You're fighting depression. That is pretty bad." If he'd have left that, who knows where I'd have went right after that. When I talk about character, saints of God, I'm talking about when you really see someone in need. What is your attitude toward that? When you see someone that's really going through something, you know, maybe you go to someone's house and maybe they have a projection that you know, everyone sees he's this loving guy, but then when you get around, you see battles in his life. You see things that he's going through. Now, is your reaction to that, you know what, he ain't really what he thought he was? Is it that, or are you saying, "God, help that brother. Help that brother overcome these things." You know, if you get around a sister, and you see a sister that's battling, you know, sometimes a person will get to a point where they create an atmosphere around them, you just don't want to be around them. Because they're negative all the time. No matter what they say, you ask them, no matter what day of the week, what hour of the day, it's bad. Okay. And listen to me, I don't say this to be mean. I say this as your brother, and I say it because I love you. If you do that, people won't want to be around you. It's not because they don't like you, it's because they don't like to be around that. But I want to encourage you, you know, when you have someone that's like that, don't just cut them off, saints of God. Draw them right back into your circle. Draw them right back in and help them see what's positive. Help them see what's real. You know, when they say, when they begin to say something negative about how bad they feel, won't you say, "You know what, it sure is a beautiful day though. You know what, I sure see God working in your life. I see God working in our church." Help them see something positive. Don't draw them out of your circle. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to come to a point where we draw our own little circle. You know what, you'll be in my group and then that person will be over there. And you know, if they'll ever quit being negative, they can be back in my circle. Come on. You know what? We need to be positive for our brothers and sisters. And I know I'm really in somebody's teeter patch. And I just ask you to remember something. When I say these things, I want you to remember I'm speaking you from my heart. You know what? Because that person could be me. But what I was going through. And the saints of God, if I was to really explain to you how serious of a stage I was at, it'd blow your mind. And brother, then people say, "You know, Uncle Tony said, it just blows my mind, but man, I would have never thought." Because I'm happy all the time. I'm jolly all the time. And you know the reason I do that is because I want people that are around me to be encouraged. I want them to be. I want this church to be encouraged. You know what? If I was to tell you how bad I hurt some days, you would never want to be around me. Mm-hmm. My Lord, I hate being around that brother. He's always got something wrong. Brother Tim asked me something that's pretty funny. He's out there and he said, "Brother Daniel," kind of put his hand next to me, and he said, "Brother Daniel, you ever feel like you're Job?" I said, "Brother, I'm ready to get off this ash heap." Because you know what? It seems like one battle after another. You know, it's just one devil after another. You get this one, throw him off, and here comes another one, you know. And then I'm going to show you something, then. Devil's really, really fought me with, you know, I've got saints from Honduras that are calling me, you know, they've been emailing saying, "Won't you come to Honduras? Come and, you know, we want you to come," and all these different things. And I've really had to fight a battle of fear over those things. And don't even realize. Sometimes you have a battle and you don't even realize it. Have you ever noticed that? You've got a battle for something and you don't even realize it. And through all these things, I realize, you know, I've been afraid to go. And not because of a fearful thing for myself, because I know that I know where I stand with the Lord. I do. And I'm thankful for that. It's my family. And it's a thought of a feeling of, you know, I may go over there and I may never come back. This last trip, I was supposed to be in that vehicle. That was supposed to be my trip. I'm the one that said, I felt pulled to go. I felt God calling us to go. I felt that call to go. And at the last, I told my brother, I don't feel like I can go. I just don't know why. I don't know why. I don't feel like I can go. And saints of God, you know, many times you tell yourself, and I explained this to my wife a while back. So you know what? You have to say, well, you know, God will provide for us. That's a saying. You know, if the Lord takes you off the scene, that's a saying. You can say that. I said, but I want you to think soberly about it. When I get on that plane, that may be the last time I ever see you until you get on the other side. When I get on that plane, that may be the last time I see my children. And it's a sober thought to think about that. And to say, I want to be sober in what I think. But because you know what? I want to be a leader. That someone can follow their footsteps and say, you know what, that's a good judgment. But that's a battle I've really been fighting in. Really been a real battle, and last night, ever since my burn, it's really been just like a
We call that thing when all the fireworks go on? The grand something? That's really, what's it called?
Grand finale.
That's it, grand finale. It's really been a grand finale for me. I'm telling you, presence of the Lord has just been awesome. And you know what? I'm excited about what I see God's fixing to be done. I'm just going to say that. You know what? I was up praying in the middle of the night this morning. You know that feeling when the Lord wakes you up and you know it's feeling really tugging at your heart to pray and you sure are sleeping good? Come on. We've all been there. I want to encourage you, next time you feel that, get up. Get up and just, even if you got to do like I do, just, you know, throw your feet up there and just flop down the couch. And you start praying. And in just a little while, things will start turning. The presence of the Lord will start moving. And I'll tell you something, the presence of God this morning was so awesome. It was about 2:30 this morning. And I don't know what time it was. It wasn't too much before dark or light, the sun came up. Just in His presence, praying and just seeking. And you know what? I felt so ashamed while I was sitting there, because there's so much to pray about. So much to pray about. I began to just reach out to the Lord, and I began to pray for, you know, different ones that are dead. I haven't been here. I've been praying for each and one of you, and God knows the truth. I pray for you saints pretty close to every day, but I guarantee not every day, but pretty close. But I was sitting there, and I began to pray, and I said, you know what, I feel so ashamed, because there's so much to pray about, and I don't do it. And when I say I pray for all of you, I don't want to try to put myself... When I say that, I say, Lord, pray for the church. Bless the church. You know, I want to make that clear. I don't want to try to do anything to grieve the Spirit on that. But you know what? I was in there and I was praying and seeking the Lord. And you know what? I began to feel my cup being filled. I emptied myself out when I got to that couch. I emptied out everything. And then God began to fill it right back up. And you know what? If you don't do that after a while, water gets stale after a while. You ever notice that? You get some nasty. So you've got to get that thing poured out and get some more of it inside of you. And as I was up there on the couch, I began to really pull on the glory of God and just reach out to Him. And I began to feel that cup fill up. And I began to see needs that I didn't even know about yet. And I began to see, I seen that Brother Tim Schultz's wife is praying there. And I seen her, I'm telling him, I seen her. This is like I'm seeing you right now. And I knew she needed prayer. I knew she would. And I began to pray and seek God for her. And you know what? I believe God's going to move on her behalf. I do that, not because of me, but because of Him, His grace. But you know, I want to show you something. During that time, how many times have you been in prayer? And I'm talking about a prayer ministry for yourself. Where you are praying and you're seeking God, not any aim that direction necessarily, but you just start spending time. Stand still just long enough. Sometimes that's the problem. Brother Brown said it many times. We just don't stand still long enough. Sit still long enough while you're praying and let God minister to you. Because I'm telling you, that's the greatest ministry and revelation you'll ever get. You know, you have the finest ministry ever on this earth right now. And preach the gospel to you. And don't get me wrong, it'd be wonderful. But that won't have nothing to do compared to whenever you are one-on-one with God. And God is speaking to you directly. How many know what I'm telling you? Yeah. That's our greatest enemy, saints of God, right there. You know, we got a new year this year. I want you to look at these enemies that I pointed out. You know, one of them, you know, the hair... Sisters, I am accepting nothing less than testimony from every one of you that God has delivered me. Who's going to agree with me on that? Amen. You know what? We're talking about the battles and about weight and different things. You're going to hear Brother Daniel talk about that, by God. Brother Tim, come on, brother. He said, what are you talking about? You know what? There's battles that we all fight, every one of us. You know what? I'm going to talk to Brother Tony, Lord willing. You know, I want to hear a good testimony service. I'm talking a good testimony service. You know, we do a little bit of singing, a little bit of preaching, and a lot of testifying. You know, I give everybody an opportunity to you testify. This is what God did in my life. And you anchor that down. And devil, I'm putting my foot down. I've used that testimony, Sister Brittany, many times. You know, I'll be going through the years and I'll remember that little bitty sister. And you know what? It reminded me of the Bride of Christ. It reminded me of, you know, the humble Bride of Christ. Just putting my foot down. You know what? I'm going to take much more of your time. But I do have just a couple of quotes, if you don't mind. And I just want you to listen to what he's saying. He says, and what good did it do? Nothing. That'll never be until every person that professes to be a Christian will forget his own ability
and yield himself to God. Then God can achieve his purpose by sending not a revival, but brother, what he needs to do first is send a killing. That's right. So we can revive. You have to die before you can be born again, and you have to. He needs a killing of ourselves. The tabernacle needs a killing, and me with it. All of us. We need a killing so that we can be revived in a new life, a new hold, a new hope, a new experience. We need a first day of mourning. We need a place of yielding to the Spirit. And instead of so much depending upon schooling and upon programs and campaigns and all that we have, we rely upon cooperation with so many different ministries cooperate. We allow so many. If we can get so many, while we don't do that, we won't go to the cities. And I'm going to skip down here. It says, we got to get to a place where we can surrender our souls and lives even to the housewife, to the farmer, to the mechanic, or whoever we are. We got to surrender completely to God and know that we are nothing. Then let God start from there. Then He starts moving and working. That includes all of us, everyone. And that's the thing we got to do. And I want to start right here. This is for the kiddos before we end the service. And I really felt this on my heart this week for the young ones. You know what? Sometimes your kids are really going through the school. And it seems like, you know what, especially with most kids, it's math. And it seems like it's just a devil that you can't overcome. You know what, I'm going to tell you something. This is for the young ones. That's what we have to do today, and that's what I need. That's what every man needs, is a complete loss. Let me make sure I read the right one here. It is. That's what we need today. That's what I need. That's what every man needs, is a loss of himself. Loss of his ability, loss of what he is, that he might have a complete yielding to the Holy Spirit. The housewife needs that. The schoolboy needs that. We take even our little children, a certain little boy that I'm thinking of yesterday afternoon or day before yesterday or one day, he went in and got his oldest sister to write out his lessons right quick and come out and told the little boy, he said, phew, them problems was easy. See, they're taught almost to cheat. How much better would it be? Those people are pillars in a church, but much better would it be for a dad of the morning at breakfast time to say, John's going to have an examination today. Oh God, be with John. Help John. He asked me in the bedroom this morning saying, Dad, pray for me today. I've got to stand my examination. Pray for me. I'd rather have my boy get a good, decent F on his card to flunk than I would know that a straight A and know he cheated to get it. And that's for the young people. I want you to stop thinking about that. This is a testimony. You know, and Elijah was feeling something fierce on some of the things here a while back. And his mama and me, we sat down. And you know what? We began to take God's word. And we told him, said, Elijah, I believe that if we'll commit this to God, we're going to pray with you, son. We're saying, you watch God turn this thing around. And we begin to pray with him. And I'm going to tell you something. God turned that D to an A. And that may sound like just a small thing. I'm going to tell you something. That's a big thing. Yeah. Math can be really hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You go with the right approach, God will give you victory. He will give you victory. And you know what? I'm just going to ask everyone just right now, just to bow your head where you're at. You know, I just want to commit this to God, and let's not rush. Let's not rush off. And if Brother Tim, if you feel led to come use it, brother, I'll leave that up to you, brother. But you know, let's not rush off during this time. You know, I've talked about many different needs this morning, saints of God, of different battles that we can have, whether it be the wife, you know, with the different battles, the brother with the different battles, or even the children with different battles. And you know what? The devil wants to beat you down and make you feel like you're a coward, nothing. You know what? You've run your race and somehow you may have pulled a hamstring and feel like you can't go any further. Saints of God, the devil's a liar. He's a liar this morning. And his grace is sufficient. And no matter what battle you're going through, I'm going to tell you something. His grace is sufficient for you. In the same way God's been delivering me, one day, out of one line, out of another. And there's many, not just me, many saints of God that are here this morning. He's delivering, saints of God. I want to tell you something. He's here this morning. And if you've got a need this morning, you can either raise your hand up
And we can pray for you at your seat, or if you want to come forth, you can come forth. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. This is your time. It was every head bowed. It's no music involved. Let's just sing a song. He is here.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name.
Come forth, if you're going to do.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely, hear Him calling out your name. He is here, and you can touch Him, and you'll never be the same.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He is here.
Lord, the mule was accepted, God. And that's the way I feel this morning. Lord Jesus, I know I've been accepted because You're not even looking at me. You're not even looking at this sister's infirmity, Father. You're not looking at her faith. Lord, You're looking at the Lamb. And Lord, You know that because the Lamb was accepted, she's accepted. And that's everything from healing to salvation, oh God. Every iniquity, Lord, of anything that would or bondage that would try to bind Your God. I ask You, Father, look at the Lamb this morning, God. Lord, may You see that You are accepted because You are Jesus accepted, Father. And every need met, Father. Lord, the healing in her body, Father. Lord, I accept it right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, give her a refilling of the Holy Spirit this morning, Father. Lord, I
I ask you to burn in her heart, Lord, and may she take these burdens and leave them on the altar this morning, God. Lord, we're committing them to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, give her total victory this morning in Jesus' name. May the chains break this morning, oh God, and she can walk in liberty, Heavenly Father. Lord, touch her brother, oh God, and minister to his heart right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I plead the blood, Father. I claim the blood on him, Lord Jesus. I ask you to reach out to my brother Brian right now, Father. Lord, as you know, this morning, as I was seeking your face, oh God, Lord, I could see him so strongly before me, Lord, and I command it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that the bondage of Satan would leave him, Lord. Lord, would you bring a revival into his heart of a genuine conviction of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Father, put a revival in my sister's heart, Lord. Help her to walk in the Spirit, Lord. Lord Jesus, may you refill her with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I'm looking unto you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
good in my heart. I'm going to tell you something. If you feel anything, if there's anything left, don't leave that way. If there's anything in your heart that's saying, you know what, I'm not quite empty yet, or I don't feel like I've met the need, don't leave this house yet. Because I'm going to tell you something. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient this morning. If there's no other needs before us, we just want to remember the Brother Tony during this week. Let's remember one another that's been praying this morning. You know what? You remember with it. If you've ever been there, you know the devil comes and he tries to hammer you 10 times over. But you know what? A church that's in unity, you know, that's a strong church, thanks to God. It's the same thing with a family. A family that's in unity, it's a strong family. And you know what? I feel good this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Tim if you know a song you want to sing, brother.
It's a simple learning to me.
Amen.
Yesterday, I had a lot of other things in my mind, and it caused me to fight even harder this morning. And it seems like it's just an endless cycle, and I know we all go through it. Who will agree with me today that next Saturday, you're going to clear your schedule, at least for the last few hours of Saturday, to get your mind on Christ? And I guarantee you, when we come here on Sunday morning, God will meet us here, and we won't have to go through all that stuff that we have to clear through just to get, a lot of times for me, halfway through the sermon before I'm actually get in tune with God. So who agree with me to do that?
Amen.
Amen. And another thing, if we get here 20, 30 minutes before service starts and pray, it'll make it even better.
Amen.
Brother, I know, we all know Brother Bannon said we need to get here 30 minutes early and be praying for the service. It's true. So wish I could get here early and pray. I have a lot of stuff to do. I have to get done before service. I probably just need to get here earlier. But that's even more important for me to make sure I'm right before I even get here. But, amen. You can sing that song, we'll be dismissed.